And at that point, the recording will be on the website later on today in audio format. So now we have our talk, which of course is Reclaim Your Power. And I think now, what could you get a better subject where people's rights are being removed or voluntarily given up in many, many different ways? So perhaps we've never had a time, specifically, especially globally, where people's freedoms have been curtailed to such an extent. So it could seem like all of your power is being stripped away from you. And not only that, of course, it comes with so many other challenges as a result. So reclaiming your power, I think, is something which all of us can really do with. And it's obviously a journey, a sense of discovery, but the need of the time. And so if we can reclaim our power in obviously in a more subtle and internal way, then I think we can really ride this wave of circumstances. So that's all my input. But we have with us Iona, who is based in Cambridge. She works for a consultancy there in the insurance field. And she's been meditating with Brahma Kumari since 2009, but on a spiritual path one way or the other for many years. And actually, the last time I met Iona was in India, where we were had arrived, and well, she'd already been for a little while, but our arrival was soon being turned around because this is in March time where this whole COVID thing kicked off. And so we were gradually, plans were being made to get us out. So I don't know exactly when Iona left, but I was on one of the last planes out of India in that particular time. Iona has just returned from Romania, and there she's been very much involved in setting up an inner space, which is something we call the Brahma Kumari centers that are having a kind of high street presence or more in an industrial area. So it's a chance to connect more with people in general. And she's been helping, setting that up, but also getting it started in the sense of doing courses and retreats, and also sharing this knowledge with schools. So you're going to be delighted. Iona is so good at presenting her ideas. I really look forward to seeing her, and I'm sure you are. So I'll keep quiet now and pass over to Iona. Thank you.
Thank you. So, good afternoon. Let us start with 1 minute of silence. Om Shanti. Welcome. And let us think together about this subject of claiming your power. And has anyone taken my power? Do we feel like we don't have power? And it is today that I could observe in one situation, I really wanted to behave in a loving way. And somehow the behavior was rather strict. And after a few minutes, I was thinking about it, why I couldn't be more loving, and I was so strict about it. Why I didn't have the power to be loving. And then I remembered a parent telling me a few years ago, a good friend, she was saying with her young son, she was saying, I'm so loving with my son. I can see that he's doing lots of mischievous things. He's doing even mistakes. And I know I would like to be more lawful. I would like to be able to put the law into practice. And she was saying, I don't have the power to do that. I'm just loving him so much. How can I punish him or how can I apply the law? So people are using this already in their language. I don't have the power. I want to do it. I know it would be good, but I'm missing something. And recently, again, I heard people speaking about not having the power to control their senses. And in this talk, we're going to speak a little bit more about the inner power, about the power that it is in my hands, about the power to deal with my mind, with my personality, and also to deal with what is coming towards me, rather than the power that is external. So last week, a friend was saying, she said, I have been overeating for so many years. Now, because of that, I'm on a very strict diet. I can eat almost nothing. She was saying, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't meditate. I can't work. I'm thinking about food all the time. And she was saying, I wish I would have the power not to do that. The power to control our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we speak, what we eat, what we speak. I wish I can remain silent in certain moments. There are people around me, and I know that sometimes that person may say something and I get angry and I'm going to say something that I really want to remain silent. And then they come and they do their thing. And I'm also replying, and I also get a little bit upset. And a few minutes after that, there is a feeling of resentment and also repentance. Why I couldn't remain silent? I wish I had the power to do it. So what is happening with our power? This is a situation with many of us. I would like to point out the model in Raja Yoga. And in Raja Yoga, we have a very simple model. And our model is saying the starting position of the soul, of the being of light that we are, the starting position is one of complete power. So this is shown here. The soul, the being of light, the point of divine light, in the home, in the original state of peace, truth, and happiness. And where there is peace, where there is truth, and where there is happiness, there is complete power, extremely powerful. And all are like this. In the home, all souls are in peace, truth, and happiness, and they are supremely powerful. And then the soul is coming down. In this model of Raja Yoga, we say the soul is coming down into a human experience. And it comes into a human body. And it goes into a journey. And the starting position in this human journey is a position of complete happiness. So there is happiness, there is harmony, there is love, there is benevolence, and all of these also mean power. So here as well, when we start from a starting position of power, completely powerful. During the journey, slowly, slowly, what happens is that attachments start, desires start, different other phenomena in the mind, expectations, identification, ego eventually, all of this will lead to losing the original power. Weaknesses are starting to develop and to become strong in the soul. So in today's world, you would say that that is a default situation. Everyone is complaining, we don't have power, we are weak, there are so many weaknesses in my life. This is a common situation in today's world. And we would like to understand what is a cause, what is a root cause of this. And I will give one word. And we'll say this word is falsehood. What would you say comes first? Falsehood in this human journey or weakness? What is it first? Think about it just for a few seconds. What is causing the other? Is because we are becoming weak that we become false and we get attached to falsehood? Or is it because we are starting to go into falsehood that we are becoming weak? Does it make sense? And I would like to say that it is falsehood that comes first. It is a moment when the soul, the being of light, starts to believe that is something that is not. The being of light, the soul, starts to believe that is a body, starts to believe that is associated with this house, so maybe I'm the owner of the house, associated with a certain job, so maybe I am that job. This kind of identification, this kind of beliefs that human beings started to develop long time ago, identifying with the body, identifying with the nationality, with the religion, with the family, identifying with a job, with a title, anything. So many identifications. We have created a strong belief that this is who we are, and that is false. We are not that. And recently I was listening to a good speaker in Brahma Kumaris, Shivani from India. And Shivani was inquiring, she was saying, when did we create this belief? She was speaking about happiness. When did we create this belief that happiness has to come from the outside? Someone or something has to create my happiness. Someone or something has to make me happy. The belief that we have created that I'm not going to be happy until I'm not going to acquire another car. Or I'm not going to be happy until I'm not going to go and have such holiday. Or I'm not going to be happy until my child is not going to graduate. So something from the outer world will give me happiness. She was wondering, she was really reflecting on this. Why and when did we develop this belief? It is false. Nothing from the outside actually can cause or take away my happiness. I am the author of my happiness. I, the soul, am creator of my happiness. Whether I decide to be happy or to be unhappy, that is a decision that we take inside. It does not depend on acquiring something from the outside, or it does not depend on being in the presence of someone. However, we have created these beliefs for a very long time. And these beliefs have led us to expectations, have led us to dependency. There are attachments to objects. There are expectations that these objects will last forever. All these things, all these dependencies are making us weak. So it is falsehood that leads to dependency. Leads to identification, leads to dependency, leads to dishonesty, we could say. Falsehood means dishonesty, but somehow we are reinforcing it, trying to defend ourselves, trying to protect this identification that I have created. Trying to pretend that I am something that I am not. Dishonesty doesn't necessarily mean that I'm telling a lie. It just means I'm not in my original state of peace, truth, and happiness. And that is dishonesty. And that will take a lot of power from me. Anyone who has ever told a lie knows what a big effort it requires to tell a lie. You lose so much energy and power. People have to remember. And there are people who daily they don't tell the truth. We are in the post-truth era, and we are aware of that. People were telling me, you know, I'm receiving daily news, and sometimes I realize, and others are telling me, this news is not true. And the next day I receive a message from someone else, and they confirm, they say, yes, yeah, it's not true. So we are living in such a world where falsehood has become the king. And dishonesty means we are trying to protect it, to defend it. We are losing so much power doing that. Just to tell something that is not honest or half honest, you have to remember, what did I say? How did I say? To whom did I say? That is why we are losing power. We are losing power. We are losing energy with all these identifications and dependencies. Our true nature, the nature of the soul, is a nature that is in peace, in truth, and in happiness. That does not require any power to be like that. That is easy. It is simple. It is straightforward. What happened here is the creation of this ego, this identification, ego. That is what has taken away our power. Ego equals falsehood. Ego means false personality, false image of the self, pretending that I am something that I am not. To give you an example, let's say I decided I would like to look as a very intellectual person. Some friends are quite intellectual, so I feel I should fit in, and it's nice to be intellectual. So I'm starting to pretend I am, and starting to read a little bit from here, a little bit from there. That takes a lot of effort, and that is false. It is a false image of the self. Sooner or later, it will be observed by the others. And actually, people are very sensitive when we create such false images. It is as if sometimes everyone knows. Only I'm fooling myself, thinking that, oh, I'm so intellectual and I'm going everywhere and I pretend I know everything, but actually I'm not at all. It's just a mask. It's a false personality. Everyone sees it. I don't see it. But it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of energy that this ego will take. And there is energy and power that the soul is consuming only to create this false personality, false image, ego, identification. Identification with the role, with the position. I'm a manager, I'm a boss, I'm the mother of this house, or I'm the mayor of this town. That will take a lot of energy and power. No wonder that we feel tired and we have no power and there is weakness. No one can take my power. COVID cannot take my power. No one in this world can take my power. I am giving it away. Someone who has zero ego will never gonna feel anyone can take their power. But because we have created lots of dependencies and attachments and greediness, we have given away our power. And ego is very complex. Ego will not only going to take power to be created, but then it takes power to be maintained. Ego can very easily get offended. Ego will hide things, will constantly try to protect itself, to defend itself, to blame things on someone else. So much waste of energy, so much waste of words. It will speak so much to show that he is right. The root cause of our weaknesses as we perceive them is this identification with what we are not. Ego is identification with what I am not. I'm not a teacher, as I speak right now. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a spiritual person. and I'm not even an engineer or even the gender, the nationality. I'm a soul, and so are all the others that are watching right now. So if we are going back to this vision, it's a model. It's a Raja Yoga philosophy model. If we are going back to the origins, to the basics, to the true nature of the soul, that nature will prevail eventually. No one can stop it. So actually, to come out of this ego problem, from this falsehood, let's say when you have a weakness, when you have a problem, you want to get good food, you want to get some good nutrients, right? So you say, well, today I feel weak, so let me eat something good. And I think we all are very careful in today's world with what we eat, isn't it? We all are eating food that is pure, food that is full with good ingredients. We call it sattvic food, food that usually grows above the earth, above the ground, that has light and warmth and wind and water. That is sattvic fruit, sattvic food. And when we take that, and even when you take a few leaves, spinach leaves, yeah, and some are yellow, you throw them away. You want the ingredients to be pure. And then you take some vegetables and you prune what is not really good. You want the purest parts of it, the cleanest ones, the good ones. And then we cook, and we cook with good wishes. We cook in meditation, with love, with pure thoughts. And all that pure vibrations are going into the food. Good wishes. And then that food we take in and we say, well, now the body is feeling powerful. Now I have power. So it is the same for the mind. It is in the mind that we will experience to be powerful or to be weak. So we would like to feed the mind with powerful ingredients. You may say thoughts are powerful ingredients. Yes, that's true. In the mind there are thoughts and emotions and feelings. And if there are pure, noble, elevated thoughts, then we feel wonderful. We are saying above the mind what is generating that thoughts, above the thoughts, what is generating them is the awareness. So in order to have pure, good food for the mind to become powerful, we want pure, noble, elevated thoughts, and they will come from a higher consciousness. They will come from a higher awareness. We call that soul consciousness, and we may already be aware of this term, soul consciousness. And this is a starting point again. If we go back to the soul, if we go back to the being of light, the starting position of our being, human being, the being, the starting position is soul consciousness. Who am I? I'm not the role, I'm not the body, I'm not even Ioana. Playing the role of Ioana is a soul. A being of light. A being of light that is in peace, truth, and happiness, extremely powerful. This is a truth. This is who we are. So we would like now to go back from here, go back here. To feed the mind, to feed the intellect, the personality with good food means to create a new consciousness. And in this consciousness, which is not new, it's the one we know very well, it's just that we knew very well, we have forgotten. We have identified ourselves so much with everything else. So we want to go back to it, reclaiming our power. Maybe it's better to say regaining our old consciousness, our original consciousness, our original awareness, that of a soul. And we call that, sometimes we call it our dharma. It's a simple word. It's a very beautiful word. Dharma makes it simple, makes it easy. Dharma means duty. Dharma means system, ethics, way of being. And the dharma of the soul is peace. And it is easy and straightforward to be in peace. Because this is who I am. This is who the soul is. It takes so much energy and effort to be violent. Would you agree with that? It takes so much effort to be non-cooperative, to refuse cooperating with a friend or with someone and say, I'm not gonna cooperate with you. It takes so much power. We are wasting so much. The nature of the soul is peace, truth, love, happiness, purity, cooperation, kindness, gentleness, sweetness, all the highest noble words, all are nature of the soul. And that is the dharma of the soul. That is like being at home. There is no effort to go back home, isn't it? An ideal home, a perfect home with perfect parents. It is so easy and so sweet. And we love it so much. And we feel so powerful at home. That is our dharma, to feel like home inside myself. To be able to get rid of this rubbish that is ego, constantly pretending, constantly wanting to show off, constantly trying to prove I'm better than someone else, I know better. COVID is not taking our power away. It is my ego that takes all my power away. So, to get here, back to our dharma, actually is very easy because it's natural. The duty, dharma, we said, is duty. And we say sometimes the dharma of a bird. What is the dharma of a bird? To fly, to sing. That is the dharma, that is the duty of the bird. The dharma of the river is to flow. The dharma of the tree is to grow and to create leaves. Everyone has a dharma on this world. Everyone has a duty, has a way of being. And in nature, you will observe something in nature. If you try to change something in nature, sooner or later it will come back to its course, natural course. Have you seen that? Sometimes you try to change the course of a river. And when I was very young, going to the grandparents in a little village, and the river was going in front of the house, and we were constantly trying to build some dams on the river to take the course of a river in a different direction as children, young people, it will go back. As soon as the human intervention is removed, the whole nature goes back to its course. You cut the trees, they will grow back. Nature has an intelligence. The river is having its own course. The trees have their own place to grow. And recently in these months, when there was lockdown, have you heard the news that fish and swans and other animals were coming back? They had lost their territories, water territories. And in the 2 or 3 months when there was nothing out there from human intervention, they were all coming back to their original places. Nature has a memory of its duty and it will return to its dharma. And so does the soul. Soul has a very good memory of its original dharma, original dharma of peace, truth, happiness, love, mercy. As soon as I stop feeding the ego, the soul will go back to peace. The soul will go back to happiness, naturally. It will go back to love, unconditional love. Power will be extremely powerful. All we have to do, all I have to do, is to stop feeding the ego. And that, in a natural way, will get the course of everything back to the original dharma. So, stop feeding the ego means start feeding this soul conscious awareness. How do we do that? We do through meditation. Meditation and knowledge. In Raja Yoga, we have this system of knowledge, points of knowledge, and food for the mind. Meditation, knowledge are very good food for the mind to make us strong again, to be able to return here. But even food, sometimes you appreciate, you say, concentrated food, isn't it? Food that is a superfood. Have you heard of superfood? I think the chia seeds are called superfood and other things. And these superfoods are so special. They have such a concentration of good ingredients in 1 gram. In today's world, we truly need such kind of food for the mind. All this knowledge that it is available now in Raja Yoga, all these points of knowledge are truly so refined, like the perfume. When you have something like the essence of the perfume, it has such a powerful, strong smell. It is refined. Or when you have milk as food, okay, then you turn it into yogurt, okay, or you can turn it into butter, and then it's really, really strong, powerful. So it is a time now indeed to take in very essential knowledge, very refined knowledge. And in Raja Yoga, there are so many tips, so many yuktis, so many strategies, simple, clear, powerful. And we take them in daily. As you may know, we study daily this knowledge, daily. And recently I could witness a group, a new group coming to this study. And they were so thrilled with it. They said, wow, it's so amazing. I can see huge differences in my life since I started to study daily. Some are studying daily, some once a week, twice a week, whatever. But they said it's amazing. Knowledge will feed our meditation. Meditation will make soul consciousness strong. Soul consciousness is the first step to come out of these identifications, the first step to become strong. Strong again. Powerful again. Second step. So first step is soul consciousness. Second step is use what you have got. Use your powers. If someone has a battery, have you experienced in the winter, cold winter, not right now, but in a cold winter, the car, the battery of the car becomes flat. And a friend went away for a few weeks. He left the keys. He said, please start the car every other day or twice a week, otherwise the battery will go flat. It is the same with our powers. We have them, but we are not using them. Whenever you can remain peaceful and calm in a situation, that is very empowering. Whenever you can remain loving and compassionate when someone else doesn't show any love and you feel they really need it, but you feel like, I don't have it, actually, we do. Just open the treasure store inside and see, yes, I do have kindness and compassion and love. whenever you remain tolerant, that is very empowering. Let's say you are at work and someone keeps disturbing. Maybe you are in a meeting and they keep speaking and they use words which are not appropriate and they interrupt everyone. You have the option to remain extremely tolerant, silent, and sending good wishes to that person. It's not in my role in that moment to correct them. There is someone else who will correct them. And even if it is in my role, I can talk to them later on after the meeting. We have these powers. And the more we will use them, the stronger they will become, like the battery. They will charge more and more and more. And eventually, so soul consciousness, use your powers, and eventually be aware of another phenomena, another aspect that will happen in this journey, the journey to come back to your power. And that is a very interesting effect in this game of life, which is called the voice of deception. And which is going to take us back into the loop of weakness. So,
that's better.
Yeah, you can see now.
That's better.
So look at when we want to come out, when the soul wants to come out of these weaknesses, this voice of deception will be inside. Can you spot it? Even now, can you think of an example? A voice inside that would tell you something? And I'm going to tell you three things it can say. I don't know. I don't know. I can't do it. And I don't want to do it. This is a voice of deception. This is a voice of falsehood. This is not true. It's not true that I don't know. Soul is truthful. Soul is knowledgeful. Soul has all the power. It is not true I can't do it. I can do anything. Impossible is changed into possible in the spiritual world. The soul is unlimited. It's not true that I cannot wake up early in the morning for meditation. It's not true I cannot change my diet. It's not true I cannot make progress. It is a voice of deception. We got used to it. It will come. It will come saying, you are too weak anyway. It is difficult. It is so intense. You're putting so much effort. You better take a break. No one is respecting you. No one is helping you. All these voices are not the voices of truth. And we want to learn to spot the voice and to remove it, to let go of it, to renounce it. Otherwise, it will keep us back into this loop. Do not get attached to the voice saying, I am weak. That is also a voice that is trying to defeat you. It's a game. We can see it as a game. And in this game, tests will come, situations will come. Use the power during a test, see it as a test, see it as a game, and also start to listen to this voice, to be able to recognize it. Do not listen to it, but recognize it. And then let go of it, renounce it. I don't need it, remove it. What really helps in dealing with this voice of deception is good company. And by good company, I understand company of those who are ahead in the spiritual journey. And in Brahma Kumaris, we are very fortunate with this system of many teachers who are ahead of us in knowledge and who would daily would share with us on a daily basis what are the traps, what are the new ways that this voice will come and tell me it is too much for you and you can do it later and you're going to get sick if you wake up in the morning to meditate and you cannot have a vegetarian diet because you're going to die, told me. Someone told me many years ago, but you will die if you're eating vegetarian. Well, I'm still here. So, final point in this journey, soul consciousness, use your powers and renounce the voice of deception. Final point is an extra help that we are getting from this divine friend. Divine friend is this supreme soul, as we call it in Raja Yoga. Supreme soul will also come with extra power to help us to do the return journey, the journey back to our origins, the journey back to our original Dharma of peace, truth, happiness, love, purity, all. Divinity, Supreme Soul, is just someone who never loses his power. Is someone who is always in the original Dharma of the soul. Someone who is always in peace, in love, in purity, in happiness, always, constantly. Never gets tired, never gets discharged. Always happy to help. We want to keep the company of very good people, isn't it? Even here, we want to be in the company of very good people. The Supreme Soul is a very good company. That's all. It is impossible to stay in his company and not to become like him. If we spend just 5 minutes a day in the company of the Supreme Soul, of the Divine, of the Divinity, it's impossible not to become like him. And he is extremely powerful. Why? Why it's impossible not to become like him? It's a phenomena in human beings. Whatever we see, we copy. That is very good. This is how children are growing up, isn't it? Children see their mother cutting the cake and doing some vegetables and they also bake a cake and it's not perfect, but they are learning. Same with us. You keep a good company, you watch them. What do they do? I'm going to do the same. It's easy for us. It's innate. We don't take any effort. We are not losing any energy, any power to copy someone. We do it anyway. What if we keep the company of the supreme friend, supreme parent, supreme lover of the soul? We keep watching him, how he is doing it. How does the supreme soul see souls? How does he love? How does he feel? How does he experience everything? Then we become like him. Easy. We become again extremely powerful. So we will stop here and take questions and finish with meditation.
So if anyone has any question, please type it in the chat. Or if you want to ask your question verbally, then if you click on reactions and put a thumbs up, then I can unmute you. We've got a couple of comments so far. So interesting today. Thank you. Thank you. So glad I joined, from Sally. Ganesh, learning the spiritual wisdom in different ways. Is it falsehood? Do you want to clarify your question, Ganesh?
Yeah.
So anyone got anything to ask? I'm sure you have. Although Yona shared so comprehensively as well. And maybe I'll ask a question just to get the ball rolling. You've covered a lot of ground in a very simple way, and simple but very subtle as well, and so succinctly. And one of the points you were saying is about we generate thoughts, and the thoughts to a great extent dictate what we're going to be experiencing, but before that is awareness. And so perhaps there's some kind of loop involved as well, so to actually create that awareness. So can you suggest some ways of what do you do, how do you use your mind or your intellect to create the awareness that you want to have in order to produce subsequently the thoughts, the quality of thoughts that you want to have? If that makes sense.
Yeah, very good question. Thank you. One simple way to shift in the consciousness of the soul is to start with observation, being the observer of this role, being the observer of what is happening now. And people sometimes are telling me, well, I observe very well the other friends, I observe everyone. And then it's here it's about observing this self. And we may start with observing the thoughts, observing emotions, being able to step back, to detach. And eventually, we want to really observe life as we are right now, observing this role. And the whole knowledge of Raja Yoga would say, I'm not the role that I'm playing right now, but the soul. So it is the soul that is observing right now the role. It is a soul that is observing, yes, this is like a play, it's like a game, playing a role, and the role has to speak and to explain and fine, but identification with the role is not necessary. So when being in this position of an observer, the observer doesn't have a body, the observer doesn't have a name, the observer is subtle. The observer belongs to a world that is subtle, that is invisible, that is a world of light. And the consciousness slowly shifts into this awareness of being the point of light, being the soul. It is a soul that is observing now, it is a soul that is seeing. That helps tremendously with the awareness.
Thank you very much for that answer, Yona. I can certainly relate how we can all perceive how being the observer can really help. It gives a chance to understand the self, what's going on. Thank you so much for that answer. And in the meantime, we've had one more question from Snehal. How do I think positive thoughts? Is it all about the fast steps? Is that what you mean, Snehal? You've written fast steps? But certainly the first part of the question, how do I think positive thoughts?
We were speaking about food, giving the right food to the mind. And fasting is also very good. Fasting at the level of the mind, as well as at the level of the body. Fasting for the body is also useful, but this is another discussion. Mm-hmm. So the food that we are giving to the mind is, as we said, from the right awareness, from soul consciousness. And to make that soul consciousness strong, we want to practice meditation 5 minutes a day. Take the right method for you. We suggest this kind of meditation that we are practicing here at Brahma Kumaris. It is clear and it has results. And give it a go. Give it a go for a month. Practice with it every day for 5 minutes. So if we are taking in a little bit of knowledge, we say every day, 1 point of knowledge about the soul, 1 point of knowledge about the journey of the soul, and then practice for 5 minutes meditation. That awareness that we are developing, that soul consciousness awareness, that will create positive thoughts. Just to create positive affirmations for myself, I know people who are telling me that sometimes they are using positive sentences, positive thoughts. Even science has shown that that doesn't work on the long term. That is not the solution. The solution is not to work only at the level of thoughts. We want to work at the level of awareness and identity. And identity, as I said, we are not the ego, we are not the role, we are not what we have been feeding for such a long time. We are souls. So make the soul awareness firm through 5 minutes meditation a day for a while, and there will be results. Thoughts will change. Negative thoughts will reduce and positive thoughts will increase.
Thank you. So there you are, Snehal. You've got some very clear homework to go away with. 1 month, 5 minutes a day. It'd be lovely to hear how you get on. Ganesh has now clarified his question. So perhaps this will be the last one, actually, and then we can have some meditation. He's asking, learning to understand an aspect of spiritual knowledge, is it falsehood or truth? As you said, now pretending to be intelligent is falsehood.
Yeah, very good. Pretending to be intellectual. Oh, it's a slight difference between intellectual and intelligent. Intelligence, spiritual intelligence, yes, we want to develop that. And there are many types of intelligences. There is a physical intelligence, there is emotional intelligence, there is spiritual intelligence. There is mathematical intelligence, nothing wrong with that. They are natural. What would be less natural would be, let's say, someone is a very good farmer and they have an amazing intelligence in that. Their dharma is very good and their duty and everything they do. But they've seen some friends being intellectual, which means they are going to posh conferences and they all speak about books and philosophy. And he starts to think he will have a better respect, self-respect, if he pretends to be intellectual as well. But I'm not intellectual. Let's say I am that farmer. I'm not that. And I don't need to pretend to be someone or something to have the highest self-respect. It is a higher self-respect of the soul. The soul is wonderful. The soul is the highest, is loving, is peaceful, is pure, is knowledgeable, doesn't need to play a role that is intellectual or is a mayor. Farmer is just as good. We are not defined by our roles. The soul is not defined by the role. That is false when we try to define ourselves. Learning, studying, taking knowledge, nothing wrong. But if at the end of 1 week of taking knowledge, I'm going home and I'm saying, I'm the most elevated person in this house. I'm very spiritual now. Everyone should respect me. That is false.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Iona. I'm sure that answer has given a lot of clarity, Ganesh. I think what we'd like to do now is if you can take us on a little meditation journey, maybe encompassing some of the ideas that you've just shared, that would be wonderful. But we won't have any background music because it tends to interrupt the flow.
Okay. So making sure the body is feeling comfortable and relaxed. The feet are on the ground, the body is in balance, the back is straight, keeping the head held high. We can keep the eyes open if we wish. I'm gonna say a few words that can guide our journey towards the inner being. Do not have high expectations. It is a gentle journey towards a being of light. I'm concentrating on a point of positive energy situated inside the body, behind the forehead, in the middle of the two eyes. As we go deeper into the soul, there is a feeling of reaching a point of complete stillness, a point of silence, a point of peace. My inner world becomes calm. Thoughts that were wandering are becoming less. I choose a thought of peace. Peace is the nature of the soul. Peace is the original state of the being. Peace is who I am and what I want to be. Peace is familiar. I am peace. Vibrations of peace are spreading out into the precious body, spreading out into the atmosphere, reaching out to the friends, to the family, to the world. In peace, I feel safe. I know I am okay. I know everything is good and everyone will be good. In peace, there is kindness. In peace, there is unconditional love. The true nature of the soul is of unconditional love, unconditional affection, kindness and benevolence are the original state of the being. In peace and love, I realize my truth. What was negative was temporary, and it cannot last. It finishes. My original nature of peace and love are truthful, and they will prevail. In truth, there is happiness. I am the author of my happiness. Joy and happiness are the true nature of the being. When I was looking for happiness outside, It was coming and going. Now I recognize that happiness is my Dharma. Peace, love, and happiness are the Dharma of the soul. When I am happy, I become clean and clear inside. There is purity. There is nothing mixed from the outside. And where there is purity, there is tremendous power. Where there is purity, nothing can attract me, pull or push me. Nothing can scare. Nothing can stop me from following the original Dharma of peace, love, and happiness. The inner being is fully connected with divinity, with the Supreme Soul, tremendously powerful, in unlimited peace, unlimited love, and unlimited happiness. In this connection, the soul removes all impurities of attachments, identifications, fears. It becomes clean and clear again, and tremendously powerful. Coming back into the awareness of the physical world, as I come into action, I bring peace, love, and happiness into my interactions. I hope you can practice every day this meditation. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you so much for taking us on that very beautiful journey in meditation. I really felt every flow as you shared on that. Very, very beautiful. And I'm sure everyone else felt very much the same. I'm just going to read out a few of the comments. Thank you from Ganesh. Thank you so much for a good, positive talk from Mike, Vicky. Thank you very much, Iona. Great meditation. I particularly like the reference to copying good practice and being with people who are more spiritually aware. Ganesh, Om Shanti, thank you all. Thank you very much. Very helpful from Richard. Caroline, thank you. Sweta, thank you. And Sarah, Om Shanti, thank you for a beautifully inspiring talk. And thanks to you, Mark, too. Thanks for a wonderful talk, Shreya. Shreya. So, everyone's given their own thanks. But thanks from the Lighthouse for coming online to share with us. Just as one announcement, the talk has been recorded, so in probably about half an hour or so, the MP3 will be up on the website under talks. I'm putting a new link at the very top of the website, so it's more easily accessible. And next week we have got Building Trust with Dr. Joanna Kito. So do tune in for that, and the website's up to date for any of the other events. So thank you for coming along, everyone. And thanks, Iona, for joining us. Om Shanti.